It's a blessing to be back with y'all, and I'd like to show you our slide presentation, because since last time we were here, things have changed, and the Lord has now directed us back to Canada. Of course, some of you might know that my parents are missionaries to Canada, and so I grew up there from the age of 11 on the mission field. And in 1996, I met my wife, and she moved to Canada. She became a Canadian citizen like me, and Abby was actually born in Canada. So it's kind of like going back home. And so we've spent our first term on mission field up in Alaska, as many of you know, in that village there in the southwest. And we were there for 3 years. And now, while we've been on furlough for a while, we've been praying where God would lead us to for our second term. And so this is what we want to share with you. And we'll give you a little bit of the history, too, of our ministry and our ministry that we had there in Alaska. So. Again, we're the Caudill family, if we haven't met you before. And my name is Todd. This is my wife, Eva, and Abby. And thank God for my girls. This is my parents. I'm not sure if they've been by the church or not, but they've been very faithful, serving God for many years. And I thank God for them raising me in a Christian home. And my parents got saved right before I was born. And so I never knew the side of them before they were saved. I never knew that, and all I've ever known is them serving God, living with the Lord, being in church, you know. And so the Holy Spirit of God convicted me in an early age, because I was always under good, solid preaching ever since I was a little kid. And so when we went down to Greenville, South Carolina, we were there at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and I was saved under the ministry of Dr. Carol B. Seitler. And I was 5 and a half years old, and I'll never forget that evening when Dr. Seitler was preaching, and God got a hold of my heart and showed me I was lost on my way to hell. Even as a little 5 and a half year old boy, I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. And I went home that night, and I just could not go to sleep. And I just knew, for the first time in my life, man, I'm lost, you know. And so tossed and turned in bed for a while, and finally I'd had enough. I said, man, enough fighting this. And I jumped up and ran up in there and got my dad, woke him up, and said, Daddy, I got to get saved. And so I remember him coming back to my bedroom, and there we knelt down by my bedside. And I called on the Lord, and he gloriously saved my soul. And I thank God for that day. I believe if you're truly saved, you can go back to the place. And this place is special to me. You can go back to the spot where you met the Lord. Amen. You remember. And this is the spot. This was 212 Texas Avenue in Greenville, South Carolina, 1978. Lord, save my soul. I heard of one guy where the church was changing the carpet. And right before they took the old carpet, he said, "Hey, hold on a second." And he runs over and he cuts the carpet out at the altar where he knelt down. Because it's precious, isn't it? Amen. Where we met the Lord. And precious memory. So here's our family. We took off for Canada. This was back in 1984. And we first went to Quebec, to Montreal. They're the French province. And a lot of culture shock there for a missionary kid. That was kind of strange. All these people speaking French, a different language and that. And, at first, I had kind of a hard time with it. I left all my friends and had no friends. And now people I don't even understand. And I was an American. Nobody's going to change me. But over time, God gave me a love for Canadian people, and I became one of them. We became Canadian citizens, and God gave us a love for those precious people up north that need the Lord. Canada is a very dark place spiritually, in comparison, especially in comparison to America. America's had three great awakenings. Down here in the South especially, just a great moving of God in years gone by. And, like the Sandy Creek Revival, you just go on and on. There's so many works of God. That's why they call it the Bible Belt. But in Canada, you can drive for 2-3 hours from wherever you're living to find a decent church, a good church to attend. It's hard. All across Canada, there's maybe 250 total independent Baptist churches. You can find almost that many in some counties down here. You know what I mean? God has greatly blessed us. And you don't really realize that until you move and live somewhere else. You grow up around, if this is the only place you've ever lived, you see Baptist church on every corner. There's always a singing, there's always a camp meeting, or there's a revival, or something going on all the time, and you got all this encouragement, but you don't have that up north. It's just not there. A very foreign thing. And so there are people in great need for missionaries, and the Canadians, they most of it is English, and so a lot of them, they speak the same language as we do. They'll eat the same kind of food, they'll drive the same kind of cars, and their lifestyle is very similar. And they're Americanized in many ways because they live so close to us. They're our neighbor. But at the same time, Canadians are different. They're a different kind of people. They're more, I guess you could say, British in nature, more reserved, very much a conformist type society. There's not too many rednecks up there in Canada. lots of rednecks down here, but not too many up north. They are, overall, I would say, a matriarchal society. The lady in the home usually runs the house. You'll go and invite a gentleman to church, and he'll say, "Well, I got to check with my wife first, make sure it's okay with her." And you get that a lot. But that's just the way of it. They do have religion. The Catholicism is pretty strong still, especially in Quebec. A bit of a stronghold there for the Catholic Church. But a lot of it is just more or less nowadays, I'd say, it's just been in the family. And they're Catholic. They don't even know why they're Catholic. They've been Catholic forever, their family. And so it's more of a traditional type thing. So you do meet a lot of agnostics, a lot of atheists. You get the door slammed in your face all day long. You got business. People just, "I don't even believe there is a God." Slam, right in your face. Just on and on. It's a very godless society. And I would say probably they're much further along as far as a moral decay in their culture and than we are in America. I know America's getting wicked. I know that, but they're more along lines with Europe as far as the sinfulness, the accepting of homosexuals and all that. They've been accepting homosexual marriage in Canada for a long time, long before we started down here. It's just a further along in decay. And so it's just a very spiritually dark place, and they need the Lord. But I have to say the number one religion in Canada is hockey. Canadians love hockey. They live and breathe. They worship hockey. It's a really big deal for them up there. Kind of like maybe Southerners like NASCAR or whatever. They're just really into this sport. It's a big deal there. So we were there in Oshawa, Ontario, working with my dad for many years, and I was just helping him out and doing bus ministry and street ministry, preaching, teaching, leading the singing, anything that needed to be done, clean the toilets, you name it, just helping out. And then along in 1996, God brought my dear wife along and brought us together. And thank God for her. Eva was saved when she was 12. Abby actually got saved when she was 5, same age as me. And Abby was, like I said, was born in Canada. And so we just continued serving with my dad for a number of years and teaching Sunday school, working with kids and doing VBSs. And we love doing it outdoors, you know, where you can go right in a townhouse development, you know, and do it right there in front of the parents, you know, that can see and you know, hear what's going on and perhaps hear the gospel. And we just had a great time serving my dad's ministry. And then God led us to a few other churches getting started in Canada, and we were helped with them. Here we're in charge of the children's church at another church, a young church getting started. And then in 2006, I was ordained into the ministry, and these are some of the men of God that the Lord placed in my life to be a great influence to me, some evangelists and pastors. And one of them, Dr. Hiltz here, he has gone to be with the Lord now. And they're a blessing. I thank God for their stand for the Lord. And then God led us to Berean Baptist Church in Oshawa, Ontario. And they're a precious, dear sending church and a home church, and we love them dearly. And we thank God for them. This is my pastor, Peter Berry. And we became really good friends, and it was just amazing how God worked out that relationship. Just amazing. It's become almost like a David-Jonathan relationship that we have, and just loving. And the focus of our church, because we're kind of an inner-city ministry, a lot of it was a street ministry work, and so I spent many hours working with my pastor and some of the men of the church on the streets, and you know, dealing with the down-and-outers, and you name it. And we just had a great time with the Lord, seeing God work in hearts and lives. Then in 2009, God led us to Alaska, and we served here in the little village called Dillingham. It's in the southwest area on the coast there called the Bristol Bay region, just north of the Aleutian Islands. And we were there for 3 years and took over this mission work. And we were there, Dillingham's a city of about, say, city, village of about 3,000. We were there for 3 years, and we were about 370 miles off the road system in the bush. And we just loved serving God there. There's just a handful of folks there in this church. They've been almost 2 years without a pastor at that time. And we brought up some groups from the lower 48, and we painted the building, put a new furnace in, and cleaned it up, and made it presentable again. It was kind of getting broken down, and fixed up the inside a little bit. And we just thank God for all the time we had to spend there working for the Lord in that village. Had a great time, I'm telling you. It was just wonderful. Reaching out to the fishermen that would come in from all over the world there to fish for the salmon. Big deal there in Alaska. Just amazing thing about Alaska, you know, how, you know, God would just show his hand in such a mighty way there. You know, these salmon coming in by the millions every June. I mean, right on time, like clockwork, you know. It's amazing, you know. And they even know what stream where they're born. How does a little fish know that, you know? I mean, that's just God. And you just see God's hand in so many ways there in Alaska, in sort of a vivid way, because you're so close to the wild, especially out in the bush. And thank God for the kids ministry we had. And we just saw some of the kids come to know the Lord. And what a blessing when the kids would come to us. They wanted to know how to be saved. And then you know the Holy Spirit of God is working in their heart. That was such a blessing. We still keep in contact with some of the kids here at a nursing home. We would get the kids involved in various things. Here we're in a parade, and we're handing out tracts and candy and getting out the gospel. And they were just such a blessing. And here we're doing our VBS. This is our first VBS we had. And this is actually the pastor there now. His name is Brother Perry Abrams. And he came over from Independent Baptist Church in Anchorage, a good solid King James Church over there. And he's a pilot, and he would fly around helping different missionaries in Alaska. And he came to help us with our first VBS that we had. And God has now led him and his family to come over and take that work. And we thank God for them. But we love having VBSs. Here's a few different ones that we had, different themes, Army of God. And so we go all out. Amen. Face paint and dog tags and camouflage and little guns. And we just had a great time. Kids ministry is so important because most people to get saved are between the ages of 4 and 14, about 80%. That's why kids' ministry is so important. And so we put a big emphasis on kids here and crazy for Jesus. We had a great time. I think I set a world record how many kids you can fit in a minivan. And we'd cram them in there. Man, you don't have to worry too much about seatbelt laws up in Bush, Alaska. I mean, you get away with all kinds of stuff. There's no inspections of the cars there. You believe that? They don't inspect the cars. So you can drive anything up there. It was amazing. I fit 18 kids in a minivan. Beat that. And we love these kids. We still try and keep in contact with them, send a birthday present, you know, and try to encourage them in the Lord and that. We've got some precious kids that got saved. Thank God for that ministry, the time we had there with them. Also, we had the jail ministry. You know, it's an interesting thing about Bush, Alaska. When you're out there in the bush, there's no roads to get to these places. I mean, we had to fly from Anchorage, like I said, 370 miles. It's about an hour and a half flight in a twin prop. And so once you get there, you're landlocked. You can't really go anywhere. You know, no roads. You have to fly out to another village, which is very expensive. So what the Lord had the state troopers do is bring the prisoners in for me, because we were in a hub village. So they'd be processed there from all these other smaller villages and then sent to the penitentiary wherever, you know, Anchorage or Fairbanks. And so they bring them into me to be to preach to them, and then they get saved. So God just worked all that out. And this is James, who's one of the inmates, got saved. And so I was able to work there alongside the police department that we had. And that was a blessing. We actually sponsored a Christian film where we opened up, showed to the whole town, and to share the gospel with them there at the public school gymnasium. So we tried to just think outside the box, amen, as God would lead us. And I'm all for thinking outside the box, as long as you're in the book. And so we did things like that, and of course, one-on-one, you know, working with various folks. This was a brother Pete that we got saved, and worked with him about a year and a half right before we left. Then, you know, just all these different families that came through our church, and we tried to be encouragement for them and saw growth in their lives. You know, it's not just about getting people saved, but also seeing people grow in the Lord and go on to serve God and be led of God in their life. And that's what we saw, and it was a wonderful thing. And here's Eva working with the ladies, doing ladies' meetings, things like that. God bless the church, and we thank God for all that he did there. And we were willing to stay in Alaska. I'm telling you, we didn't want to leave. Abby loved Alaska. I mean, we loved it there. It was great, wonderful. But you know, God has his timing, and God showed me that it was time to go after those 3 years. And I notified Brother Perry Abrams, the gentleman I showed you earlier, and because he was become a good friend and he had helped us out with Bureau of BBSs, I knew that he had filled in for other missionaries. And I said, Brother Perry, I believe God's leading us out. And he said, well, you know, I'd like to come and fill in for you when you leave. And so eventually the Lord led him and his family there. And it's amazing how God worked that out, because him and his wife, they're actually originally from there. His wife is originally from Dillingham. All her family is native. They all live right there. And they just fit perfectly in God's plan. And, you know, it's so important to follow God, because God has a timing for everything. And when we came down here to Reidsville, and Reidsville, Eden's a good place for us to base out of, because I'm from this area and a lot of family contacts down here. It was just a few months after we were here, I think about maybe 1 or 2 months, our next-door neighbor came outside. He'd lost his wife. He lost his job. I mean, he was in bad shape. And he came out on the back porch one day, and he had a gun in his hand. He was going to blow his brains out. And now he told us this months later. He said, if it had not been for your daughter coming outside at that very moment, and Abby came outside, and she was playing a little bit over close to where his house there. And that was enough time for him to just kind of calm down, and he just couldn't go through with it, her being right there, you know. But it was just a plan of God. That's why it's so important that you follow God with your life, you know. Because God knows, you know, where you're to be at a certain time. And that's what we want to do. We want to follow God. And now God's led us back up to Canada. And just recently, God has gave us housing. God wants us to be there by October 1st. And I believe that's for a very important reason. God has a reason for us to be there. And we actually weren't planning to be back on the field quite this soon. And we were kind of thinking maybe the end of the year, but now God's kind of bumped it up. And I believe with all my heart, this is the plan of God. And so we're excited about getting up there and starting a new work for the glory of God. And this will be a little bit different, you know, than Alaska. We took over a mission work the first time. This will be a brand new work there in Canada. Here's Abby doing some of the Alaskan games and that. This was the blanket toss that they do, kind of like a big trampoline where they throw you up in the air. And Abby kind of likes those native games and stuff. They do some real torturous things. they'll tie like a string to, you know, a person's ear, and the other person will tie a string to their ear, and then they'll jerk, you know, things like that, and all kinds of torturous. We tried to reach out any way we could, whatever God would bring to mind, and if it was just putting a sign on a snowman in front of our house, we tried to get the good news out there that people need to be saved and know Jesus. So as we came out on furlough, you know, we prayed for several months, you know, where God would have us to go for our second term. And we visited Wyoming, Indian Reserve out there where mission work was with no pastor. I mean, nice building, bus ministry going. And, you know, we've got a burden still for Native people, but God just would not give me peace about it. Then I went up to northern Manitoba, almost the central part of Canada. Another missionary was coming off the field. Beautiful building, congregation, even had a place for us to stay. But again, God just would not give me peace. And so along about March, God led us up to back at the Ontario, over here to Cornwall, pretty close to Quebec, the French province. And when we went there, I mean, it was just totally, totally different. I mean, this was just such a peace when we went there. You know, and is this it, you know? And so we began praying, and I prayed that God would confirm it by His Word. And God did so, just like He did for me before I went to Alaska. God gave me a couple verses out of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 11 and 12, and just confirmed my heart that He wants us there in Cornwall to start this brand new church. I did quite a bit of research and with other pastors and that I knew and about the area, that knew the area well and the need there. And so there definitely is a need to reach the lost there. And this city of about 47,000 souls, a mixture of English and French Canadian. And also, right next door is the Akwesasne Indian Reservation as well. So there's just a great need to reach out, and of course, to the Canadians as well as the Native people there. And they need the Lord in a great way. A lot of gambling and that on the St. Regis Indian Reserve there. And we plan to start a brand new church for the glory of God. We don't know anybody there except our landlord that we just met last week that we're going to be renting a house from. We don't know anybody there besides them. It'll be a brand new church plant, but we are so excited, and we plan to start it in this building here. This is a hockey arena, and what they're going to do is rent us a room, and so this will be a nice facility to come to, nice parking, very, very nice facility, and so pretty close to downtown. And again, you know, start with the jail ministry and the street ministry and kids ministry and whatever else God would bring to mind. I was in a church just recently where they take their church van, they're near an interstate, they take a church van over to the truck stop, and they'll pick up truckers and bring them to the church service, and then take them back after church service. That's deep. That's cool. But whatever God brings to mind, whatever He wants us to do, besides our other ministries we've been doing, we want to do that. And basically why I'm showing you these things is because we want to do this again up there in Canada. And but we're looking forward to God getting us up there soon, and we'd appreciate your prayer. Please pray for the Canadian souls. They need the Lord, and again, a very spiritually dark place. They do not have the heritage that we have here in America, especially down south. Most of them, I would say, I mean, like down here, you can knock on doors and visit people, and you ask them, are you saved? And they'll say yes, and many times, you know, it almost seems like everybody's saved down here, because they'll say they're saved, you know, but up there, I mean, they'll just blatantly tell you, saved, what's that? Or, you know, what's the gospel? Or is it, you know, They know very little, and they're just very, very ignorant of the gospel. And the Bible talks about how, you know, the fields, you know, are white to harvest. They're plenteous. Just the labors are few. And the reason why so many are not saved in the world is because they just don't understand. They don't know. You know, they've had nobody to tell them. They've had no preacher to come and give them the gospel. Otherwise, they'd be saved. And I believe there are souls there. Yeah, we're going to get rejected. Yeah, we're going to be ridiculed. We're going to be persecuted. I know it's going to happen. They're a very godless society. I understand that. But there are souls there that will be saved. Amen. That's why God's sending us. And so we're excited about getting there. We'd appreciate your prayers for us. Please remember the Canadian souls.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11 this evening. Hebrews chapter number 11 in your Bibles. Again, I'd like to thank Pastor Mahan for allowing us to come and share our burden and share our calling with you this evening. It's such a blessing to be back with you, and I just want you to know that your church is very special to us, and we love you, and I want you to know we've been praying for you for years, and I just thank God for, you know, Pastor Puvi and his ministry, and it was such a blessing to get to know him before he passed away and went on to glory, and just thank God for your church here, and thank God for your stand for the Lord, and thank you for your faithful support to us and our family. If it wasn't for churches like you, we couldn't go. We couldn't do what we do. And we thank God for you and your faithfulness. I really mean that with all my heart. In God's Word here in Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 24, Hebrews 11, 24. Here we have about Brother Moses and his walk with God, how God greatly used him. And, you know, it's amazing how God used him to be one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. And yet, in the very beginning of his life, you know, he really was very introverted, and, you know, didn't want to speak in front of people. But God turned it around. Amazing how God can do that. You know, amazing what God can do in your life and mine when we just are willing and just, you know, let God have control. It says in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." He could have a very plush lifestyle. You know, no worries, you know, no cares, but he chose to go God's way. And I believe even as a believer, God brings us to certain crossroads in our life where we got to decide, am I going to follow God with all my heart or not? You know, in verse 25, and this is my text verse this evening, the Bible says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And truly, the pleasures of sin are just for a season, just for a little while. Then verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt," the type of the world, "for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt," and that's what God wants us to do, forsake the world, turn from the world, "not fearing the wrath of the king," being a type of the devil, "for he endured as seeing him who is invisible," speaking about our Lord. My message this evening is those two first words in verse 25, choosing rather. Choice, free will. Man, what a wonderful thing God has given every one of us to be able to make a choice. Ever since the beginning of in the Garden of Eden, we've had a choice there. And you know, God didn't really make it very hard, did he? I mean, he just put one tree in the garden that he said, you just can't eat of that one. You can have the rest of the garden. He didn't make it very hard. He's a good God, you know. I mean, he could have done the other way around, you know. But he just said, just one tree. Just don't eat that one, you know. And God's not hard on us. I mean, he makes it real simple, makes salvation simple. Even a child can understand it and be saved. Me and Abby both got saved when we were five, right, Ab? And I mean, makes it so simple, so easy to understand. And so we each have a free will, a choice. What a wonderful thing. We all make choices all the time. Isn't it nice to go to Golden Corral or one of these places, buffets, and be able to choose what you want to eat, you know? God could have made us robots. He could have made us where we just didn't have a mind of our own. But God wants us to choose him, you know? He doesn't want to force us in anything, you know? He's a good God, isn't he? He's an awesome God. He doesn't force you to be saved. And after you're saved, he doesn't force you to live for him. He doesn't force you to grow spiritually, does he? He leaves those choices up to you. He's a good God. I mean, you wouldn't want him any other way. He is such a perfectly balanced God. He's a God of justice, purity, righteousness, holiness. At the same time, he's a God of great mercy, love. Because he's a God of great justice and judgment and righteousness, we can trust him. Amen? Now, that's his hard side, right? We know one day we'll stand before God in judgment. And what a judge that'll be. Man, none of us have ever stood before a judge like that before. I mean, no sin whatsoever. Perfect in every way. I mean, he loves holiness, righteousness. Do you realize that most sinners would hate heaven? They would hate heaven. It's a place of no sin, no lust, no wickedness. Eternal church. That's heaven. Most sinners would be like, get me out of here. I hate this place. Amen? holiness, pure holiness. We'll be standing for the great judge one day. And what a day that will be. And that's his hard side. But at the same time, he has a soft side of great love and mercy. Oh, what a good God. Amen? To show us such love, such mercy, and perfectly balanced God. Well, God expects us to make right choices. And Moses here, he made some good choices. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. God expects us to make these right choices. God expects us to continually be making them, continually be drawing nigh to him. God's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of proximity. As you draw closer to him, he'll draw closer to you. That's just the way it works. He's not going to force that to happen. Spiritual maturity just doesn't happen automatically. It's something we got to work at, every one of us, every single day. We got to take up our cross of self-denial and follow God, follow the Lord. Amen. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. He goes on to say in that same passage, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? You going to serve God or Baal? Make up your mind. The devil wants us to straddle the fence. Right? The thing we have to realize is Satan owns the fence. He wants us to skirt the edge. He wants us to get as close to the fire of it and not get burned. But if you play with sin long enough, you will get burned. But he wants us to play with sin. It's been said the greatest temptation is the desire to be tempted. And may God help us, amen, to make the right choices. And the first one I want you to see, the choice that we as believers need to make, is in Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me over there in that passage there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give you just three choices that we must make as believers. And this is a continual thing. I mean, it's not just a one-time deal. It's an everyday thing as we take up our cross and follow the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, look with me there in verse 17. The Bible says this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." And that's what a lost person is doing. They're living for vanity of their mind in this world. I mean, emptiness, really. I mean, just brings no joy, peace to your heart. It can't. There's no way. And people all around us, just living for vanity. That's all we see on the television, and the ads and stuff. It's just vanity. And verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, and what a good life it is, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And if you remember that, what that was like when you were lost, that blindness that was there. I mean, you didn't understand God's love and forgiveness and didn't understand how you could be saved and because you're blinded. And then verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And sin just does that. It just kind of, it's like a quicksand, It just, at first you think maybe you can handle it. You think maybe I can cross this quicksand, but it just pulls you down further and further and further, But then Apostle Paul turns it around in verse number 20. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, in the Greek, that means you know better. You're saved. You're the people of God. You know better than to live like that again. And then verse 21, he says, and if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, and we have, as the truth is in Jesus, and that's the only way to get to heaven, amen, through Jesus, through his shed blood on Calvary, that only one way, amen. He says in verse 22, that ye, and he puts the onus on us there. It is our responsibility. These are the choices that we must make. Number one, in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. This is the first choice we must make as a believer, that choosing rather to put off that old man. David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. We need to search our hearts daily. We need to search our hearts throughout the day. We need to have a heart of repentance, of constantly repenting before God of any known sin in our life to keep our hearts right before God. It's an important choice to make. We need to help ourselves by putting up safeguards in our life. And making not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Like Brother Paul talks about in Romans 13. putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, at the same time not making provision for the flesh. There's areas in our life that we know that Satan works on us. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And we need to put up safeguards in those areas in our life, personally and with our families, because Satan's out to get us, folks. He wants to see you out of church. There's people I know that used to be faithful to church, and today they're out of church. How did that happen? Well, they let Satan get some ground in their life. They kind of backed up. They compromised, you know. They changed their convictions. Maybe they had conviction in a certain area. And, man, they weren't going to budge for anything. But now they budged a little bit with Satan. And now Satan's taking over their life and getting them out of church. Man, it's not good. I'm telling you, it can happen to any one of us. I know of a pastor friend of mine. He was a dear man of God, loved God, fervent, you know. Young man, on fire for God. He's out of the ministry today. He was my friend. He was a close friend of mine. How did this happen? You know, I'm telling you, it can happen to any one of us. If we don't put up safeguards and we don't choose daily to put off that old man. Another thing, don't refrain from making the right choices that you normally make. Like going to church, being faithful to church. And sometimes we think, well, yeah, I can miss a service now and then. It's not a big deal. They won't miss me, you know. Hey, I think you ought to be faithful to your church. Amen. I think we see that in the Word of God. You know, not forsaking, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Amen. Or such is. And we need to be careful about these things and be faithful in reading our Bible and having personal and family devotion time. And we try to challenge each other in our home with a verse for the day. You know, what's your verse for the day? And they ask me, what's your verse for the day? And if they ask me and I don't have a verse for the day that God's given me from His Word that morning, then I look pretty bad, you know? And then we know who had their personal devotion time with God or not, you know? And so it's a good thing. And we do it to challenge each other in the Lord. And we need to do that. Iron sharpeneth iron. You know, I think about Brother David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, how, remember when it was time for the kings to go out to war, and David, if he had just done what he normally would do, just go out with his men to war, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble with Bathsheba that night. But instead, he chose to, not that important. I tell you, it is important. It's important that we be faithful to God. It's important we come to the house of God. It's important to do the right things. It's important to get the Bible out and pray with your family. Man, these things are important, and they're things we need to keep doing, and don't stop. Because as soon as you stop, Satan will get his little toe in the door. And before long, he's got his foot. And before long, he'll get in the home and he'll mess up things, you know. Oh, don't give him the chance, Christian. Don't give him even the chance. We got to take up that cross and follow the Lord each and every day. Paul's talking about, hey, be a living sacrifice. Think about that, a living dead thing. That's what God wants us to be every day, a living dead thing. Amen. He wants to live through you. He wants you to die to yourself. He wants me. He wants Todd. He wants us to get out of the way and let Him live through us. Is that not what Apostle Paul was saying in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Yet not I'm not living. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, God wants people, when they see you, when they see your life, not to see you. He wants them to see Jesus. Amen? He wants to live through you if you'll let Him. But it'll only happen as we make these right choices. And number one, putting off the old man. Keeping away from sin. Amen? Making sure that your heart is right with God at all times. Repenting of any sin. If it comes in your mind, repent of that. Even long before it becomes an action. Repent of it right then. It's so important. Amen? Like David said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And now number two, look at verse 23, Ephesians 4, verse 23. The second choice we need to make as a believer, as far as making good choices, right choices before God, as Moses did, is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That renewing of our mind. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oh, how our heart, our mind needs to be renewed. The word renew means to make new again. It means to make fresh or vigorous, to revive, to revitalize. To the younger generation, it means to reboot. We need to reboot this mind during the day, throughout the day, because it gets messed up and you know, with all this junk, you know, from the world, you know, gets fed in there, and we got to reboot that thing. And God wants us to, and this is an important thing here that the Apostle Paul is getting at. And it's not only mentioned here in Ephesians, it's mentioned other places as well. He mentioned it over in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." It's an important deal. It really is. And, you know, I see through the Bible that there's a pattern that we have where, you know, saints of God like David and others, you know, they would get alone with God at least three times a day. Hey, the Muslims can get, they can pray to Allah, you know, five times a day. Why can't we, independent Baptists saved by the precious blood of Christ, why can't we get alone with God at least three times a day? Amen? I mean, it only takes a few minutes just to kind of reboot, kind of revitalize and refresh our mind, renew our mind concerning spiritual things and our attitude of prayer before God. And David said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray." And I think he said, "And cry aloud unto God." Cry out to him. And we know Daniel there. Remember, he got in trouble with those guys and they were trying to get him. And they couldn't find any fault with him. Couldn't find any sin in his life. But he was faithful to his God. They said, "Hey, we got him there. And he won't quit that." And sure enough, right on schedule, there was Daniel with his window open. I mean, he didn't pull the curtains that day. I mean, he just like he always would, you know. And he just prayed towards Jerusalem. But three times a day, he made an effort to get alone with God. Now, I'm telling you, folks, this is how you grow as a Christian. This is how you get closer to God. But you got to make these choices. God won't make you make these choices. Why are we not any closer with God than we are? I mean, it has to do with us. You know, when I get to the judgment seat one day, I won't be able to blame God or blame the devil for how I turned out or my life and how it was. I make choices every day that affect my life and my spiritual walk with God. If I will make the right choices, and this is Bible, if you make the right choices, God will bless you. God will cause you to grow. He'll give you boldness. He will help you. But it's up to you to make those choices. To put off that old man, the choice of renewing your mind, getting alone with God and crying out to Him throughout the day and keeping your mind refreshed and revitalized, refocused. Oh, guard your heart, Christian, by keeping your mind renewed. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep him," not might, but wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's a promise we have in God's word. And you can bank on that. That's God's word. Amen. He'll keep his word. We just got to make the right choices. And then lastly, in verse number 24, notice what the Bible says there, Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on," this is the third choice, not only put off the old man, not only be renewed in the spirit of your mind, but number three, "that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Over in Psalms, the Bible says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright." God expects you and me to set our heart aright before Him. And it says, "and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Folks, if we make the right choices here, as Apostle Paul brings out here in Ephesians, God will help us to become steadfast Christians, consistent believers before the world and those that we live around, those we have contact with. And I mean, we have such a huge kingdom of influence. I mean, it's no telling how many souls that we will touch in our life, in our lifetime. We won't know until we get to glory how many lives we've touched, in a good way or a bad way. You know, if we could have been a more fervent believer, we could have encouraged them to come to the Lord and maybe become stronger in the Lord. But if we fall by the wayside and we're not, you know, walking close with God, then we maybe show them that maybe Christianity doesn't look like it's as much as, you know, it should be, or, you know, it doesn't look like it's real to them, or, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just, wow. I mean, even as you left your house this morning, as you walked out the door, there might have been a neighbor that was looking out their window. You didn't see them, but they saw you and saw you with a Bible under your arm. You're going to church. You made an impact on them. And you don't know what a great impact you'll have until you get one day to glory and God shows you. It's so important that we make these right choices. We need to make the choice of putting on the new man. We need to believe the promises of God. God offers us peace. He offers us joy. And we need to believe those promises. Folks, we have the victory. Do you know that? Amen? We got the victory. Folks, we know the end of the chapter. We know what's going to happen to the devil in the end. We know who wins. Amen. The guys with the white hats in. I mean, they do win in the end. Amen. And we're on the winning side. And what a blessing. And one day we'll be home in glory. And we'll be there around the throne with the millions of the saints of God all gathered around. And we just going to all be praising and shouting and worshiping God. And then there's going to be the angels, the seraphims and the cherubims. Amen. And there's going to be all these old saints. There's going to be Brother Moses there. And amen. Brother Daniel, Brother Joseph. Amen. And Brother Poovy's going to be there. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Man, we know the end. We ought to live like it. We ought to live with that victory in our life and believe the promise of God and act then on the promises of God and take God at His word and put His word into practice. If you look over there in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about there in verse 18. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. And folks, I'm telling you, we are either walking in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit. I mean, there's like a switch in our heart. And it's either flipped to the flesh or it's flipped to the Spirit. It's one or the other. And there's a lot of things you can do in the flesh. But God doesn't want you to walk in the flesh because that's not pleasing to Him. He's not getting the glory. You're getting the glory. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. He wants to take over. Amen? To be filled with the Spirit is the opposite of demon possession. Did you know that? That is what God wants. He wants to be in total control of you. Amen? And that does not come just automatically. Amen? There are certain choices that we must make. God wants to, it'd be almost like a drunk person. He mentions here in verse 18, He compares being filled with the Spirit like a drunk person. If you ever met a drunk person, a lot of times you'll find they'll be very very arrogant, you know, and they don't care what people think, you know. They just, you know what I mean? Man, that's the kind of king that God wants to do in our life. He wants to make us bold, but in the Spirit of God. Amen? He goes on to say, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make it melt in your heart to the Lord. Do you sing? Do you ever sing to God? Do you ever praise God? Do you ever just sing to Him and praise Him throughout the day? Man, it'll bless your heart. It'll help you. Amen. Not only should we pray and read our Bibles, but we need to sing and praise God. God gave you breath to praise Him. That's why you got breath. To praise God and lift up His name. And then giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for all things that God gives you? Do you realize every breath you take is from God? Every breath you take is a gift. Oh, be thankful, Christian. It's putting on the new man. Be thankful. God's been so good to all of us, especially here in America. Amen. Having heard the gospel at an early age, man, I've been so blessed. Oh, man, I've been blessed. And at the same time, I am accountable for those blessings. Him, much is given, much is required. Amen? And boy, I'm telling you, I think about those Canadian souls. They have not been blessed as I have. And God's a fair judge, you know, on Judgment Day. And I believe if you take a lost person from down here, down south, and you compare with a lost person in Canada, this person down south has heard the gospel just, you know, all their life. You know, they've been exposed to God, tracts and billboards and bumper stickers, you know, about Jesus, about the Lord, and you need to get saved, you're going to hell if you don't. And then you got this person up here, they've had very little, any gospel at all. I'm telling you, hell's going to be a lot hotter for that soul that came from down here. I guarantee you. God's a fair judge. God is very, very fair. Amen. There are degrees of glory. Not everybody's going to get the same crown. Not everybody's going to get a crown. And there are also degrees to punishment as well. God is so fair. Amen. God's a just, He's a very just God. Oh, may we as God's people, may we make these right choices. Amen. May we, I'll leave with this last thought here. If you go with me over to Hebrews chapter 12, hope to the end for the promises. Not only believe the promises, act on the promises, put them into practice in your life, but hope to the end for the promises. We have a blessed hope to look forward to being with the Lord for all eternity. And look there in Hebrews chapter 12. Now end with this evening. The Bible says there in Hebrews 12 verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all those saints have gone on before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Those things Satan used in our life to trip us up and to keep us not going for God and beset us along the way. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is our joy. That is our hope. Amen? One day that we will be with him and our faith will become sight. What a day that will be. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You know, as Christ, he bore the cross and all that went with that. You know, the piercing of his side, the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the beatings, the spittings, the ridicule and the shame and everything of the cross. At the same time, the Bible says there was a joy that was set before him. He was looking at you. He was looking at me when I would get saved and be bought by his precious blood and redeemed. Amen? And that was his joy. And because of that, he could endure that cross. May we look beyond our cross. I don't know what your cross is. It may be health problems. It may be financial difficulties. It may be trials and things that you're going through. I don't know what your cross is you're bearing. But man, by faith, may we look beyond our cross, the cross of self-denial of ourselves in this life, and look to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, one day to be with him. Man, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And, you know, all there is to go with that. And, man, I'd like to, if the Lord would let me, to put on some brand new Fruit of the Loom socks and see how far I can slide down those golden streets. Man, I'd like to try that. Would you like to try that? I know it's a strange thought, but I just always kind of wanted to try that. But more than all of heaven and all of glory that we shall experience in that day is to see my Lord and to see him smile upon me. To see when he sees you, when he makes eye contact with you, that he's got a smile on his face. That'd be worth it all. Worth it all. Amen. What a day. What a day that's going to be. Folks, may we make the right choices. Let's hope to the end for the promise. Let's look beyond our cross. Let's live by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And if we make the right choices, God says he'll bless us. And he'll encourage us and he'll make us grow, mature, and we'll be walking in the Spirit, pleasing God, and no telling what God can do through our life. Amen. As we completely submit to him. And it's a daily thing and it's throughout the day. Amen. We can't let our guard down for a second. I'm telling you, we can't. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, he wants to rip your life apart. He wants to get you out of church, he wants to get you out of a ministry. He wants to mess up your life, even as a believer. Don't think just because you're saved, you're out of gunshot of the devil. No, sir. No, sir. He still wants to bring you. He can't get your soul, but he can make you ineffective for Christ. Yes, he can. He can discourage you if you let him. Oh, let's keep looking to Jesus. Make those right choices. Amen. Amen. And God will bless you. The choice of putting off the old man, the choice of renewing our mind, the choice of putting on the new man. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this evening. What a blessing, God, to be in your house and to look into thy word this evening. God, I pray maybe something's been said, dear Father, might be a blessing and encouragement to your people. And God, just have your way now. Bless, God, this dear church and Pastor Mahan and the ministry here, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for them. And God, just continue, Lord, to use them in a great way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
I'm Thank you.